Good morning. Well, this morning we're having a problem with my iPad, so this is on my iPhone, so it's pretty small. So this is the best we're going to be able to do this morning is with my iPhone. But good morning, and I thank you for tuning in. And so as I stand here and look out on the audience that's not here, we do have Jack and Cheryl here this morning. But you know, when I see this building and it's empty, it really, the fact jumps out at you that, well, it's just a building. It's not anything else without the body being in the building. There are a few announcements that I will make. Most of you may have already gotten the message that Soraya C., who some of you may not know, is a nurse, and she has contacted or is symptomatic of the coronavirus, and the two boys are with her. And so prayers in that regard. I understand Brother Dale Harrington is doing a little better. And Ed had a chemo treatment this past week, and he was having some ill effects from it. I will say for the folks at Gregory, the bulletin is online. And so if you can have access to the Internet, you can read the bulletin online. If not, if you know someone who would like to have a bulletin, I can print one off and bring it to them. From here on in, on Wednesday night, I plan to do this again, and I've asked some other brethren to participate. And John Lee is supposed to be with us next Lord's Day, and I may talk to him about doing the video cast. Hopefully, we'll have a little bigger screen. But anyway, as we begin this morning, Brother Jack Dyer is going to have a prayer for us, and then he will be reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 23. Jack?
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to draw before your throne in prayer. Heavenly Father, that even though we're separated in our homes and different places, Heavenly Father, we are one body through your Son. And Father, we are thankful for the privilege, for the honor to be able to call you Father, to be adopted into your family, and to be your children. Father, there are many things that we are concerned about today. And Father, we know that Christ is preeminent. That Heavenly Father, that He is in control. You are in control. And Father, we pray that during this time that our faith, our trust in You will continue to grow. Help us, Father, to be the children that You would have us to be. To reflect You and to be merciful, to be kind. And Heavenly Father, share the love that You have given to us. This we ask in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1 is a beautiful passage. Paul begins by giving his credentials, his authority in order to speak. Then he speaks to the brethren themselves. And I think you, as we read this, you want to pay special note, verses 3 and following, of how he addresses the body in Christ. Then finally we get into the preeminence of Christ. He is in control. And that is what we need to remember regardless of what happens round about us. He is in control. Let's begin Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 23. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus on the love because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does among you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made his way known to us, your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we have heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil things, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that we have, the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Colossians chapter 1, 1 through 23.
Thank you, Jack. I think I'm going to see if I can get rid of some of these things here. They're kind of distracting, so let's try that. And again, I apologize for the small screen, but technology doesn't always work like we'd like it to, and especially when you're a neophyte like me. And I don't know how to get rid of these, I guess. Let me just keep trying here. Let's see. I guess they're not going to go away, huh? So we'll just have to put up with those. But anyway, as we continue here on another Lord's Day, we're being here. One of the things that it reminds me of, we're scattered all over the metro here. And so reminded me of the church when they experienced something similar, when they were forced to flee because of the persecution that we read about in Acts chapter 8. Chapter 10 and verse 23 reads, "When they persecute you in one city, flee to another." But what that accomplished was that the gospel was preached every place that they went. So what was intended as a hindrance of the gospel actually furthered, assisted its spread. Now, also what was intended by the persecution, it was overturned because of the faithfulness of the disciples in producing the morning of Christ. And so We remember that Judaism, Jesus was a threat to Judaism. And so the persecution had the opposite effect. It actually advanced the cause of Christ. And so I know that we are not being persecuted. We may be confined for a bit, but it's nothing like what the church is going through that we Acts chapter 8. But I did wonder, what did some of those folks do if they found themselves unable to participate in the Lord's Supper? What happened when they couldn't participate in an assembly or a body of Christ? And I often wonder how they would have handled that situation. What we do know is that they continued to preach the gospel. And so this morning I would like to take a short time to speak about the deity of Christ. And you might say, well, we all know that Christ is divine. We all know about his deity. But sometimes we need to have be refreshed, because this is one of the foundations of our Christian religion, and because many reject the deity of Christ. Those that reject, some of them try to belittle the Lord. They try to explain the divinity of or the deity of Christ away. There are many skeptics that Christ was divine. They claim if Jesus existed, and note the doubt there, the if, he might have been a good teacher, but certainly not deity. And these are all anathema to the scriptures and to our Lord and Savior Jesus. If you happen to be reading in the Quran, I think that's the way you pronounce that. It's close anyway. As near as I can tell, if someone believes that Jesus is God, that they were wrong, that they'd gone too far. And if you happen to have a Quran or Quran laying around, you can find that in Surah 4:116. So anyway, also Jehovah Witnesses claim that Jesus is not God, but was God's first creation. Others outright claim that Christ's divinity is not taught in the Bible, but I don't know how they can. The Mormon Church, I did just a little bit of reading about them and some of the things that they said, that God and Christ are two separate gods. And they also say that God once lived on earth and had fleshly bodies, and that God is the father of spirit children. So a writer named Martin Walter wrote a book called The Kingdom of the Cults, in which he said that Jesus is the created spirit brother of Satan. I don't know where people get this stuff. I really don't. Anyway, these are just some of the things that go on in the world. Some people aren't even aware or even care that Jesus is deity. So Jesus does not want us to not engage in these discussions about these things or with people. But if we go to John chapter 8 and verse 24, he told a crowd of his contemporaries that the following. He says, I have told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, we'll note in this verse the words I am, which is the ancient definition of the God of Israel. The I am is found in several scriptures in the Bible, just to mention a few, Deuteronomy 32, Isaiah 43, 46, 48, and others. But here, what is being said, I believe, is that Jesus is telling this crowd here, this group of people that includes scribes and Pharisees, that he is the one they are looking for or have been looking for. So in verse 24 of John chapter 8, our belief in the identity of Jesus is a matter of life and death. And I'll go ahead and read that verse. It begins, you are from below. I am from above. You are of the world. I am not of the world. I told you that you would die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So John chapter 8, verse 24, holds the impossibility of salvation for those who hear the gospel and do not respond to it. When Jesus says, I am from above, he is referring to heaven, of course, and this is where they can never enter because of their sin and their unbelief. These people did not believe that Jesus is divine, that he is the Son of God. So we'll go from there. We'll go to John chapter 10 and verse 33. We see that the Jews were going to stone Jesus for blasphemy. And that verse reads, John 10:33 reads, that their reply is, "It's not for good works we are going to stone you, but because for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself to be God." So if we go on down to verse 38, it reads, Jesus says, "Even though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." So Jesus is reiterating his claim to be in essential oneness with the Father. And no one could do the works unless God. Even the scribes and the Pharisees and the crowd there knew that to be true. It was true of most all the Jewish people there. So Jesus knew very well what these Jews were saying. He knew that they were they knew that he was declaring his divinity. So they are without excuse. They saw the miracles. They saw the works. And so this is something that they have no excuse. Now, what else can we look at what Jesus said about himself? Well, we'll start by assuming that we all know of the existence of God and the inspiration of the Bible. Now, so one place that we can start is in John chapter 1, where it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What we might do with that verse is we might start and say, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." Because this word, the Word is described as, in verse 14, as being Jesus. So it tells us that Jesus was no subordinate being. He was no second to God, second to the Most High. But he was supreme and he is eternal. So since the Word was God, everything that God was in essence, Jesus is also. In verse 14 of John 1:1, that tells us that the Word was Jesus, which indicates that Jesus was God in the flesh. If we go to Romans chapter 9 and verse 5, it reads in the ESV, "To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God, over all and blessed forever. Amen." Now, in Romans chapter 9 and verse 5, this verse, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was honored with such a great history and the honor of having the lineage of Christ and being God's chosen people. They were descended from Abraham, which was very important to these people. And on this, they highly valued themselves as being descendants of Abraham. So the verse ends with, "Who is God, over all, blessed forever." So what we can apply from this verse is that Jesus is fully divine. And when we have blessed forever, this is usually added by Jewish writers when they mention God. So we can also go to other verses, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, Hebrews 1 and 8, 2 Peter 1 and 1, and they all attest to this same conclusion. If we go to John chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus calls God his own Father. So by calling God his own Father, Jesus is claiming a unique connection with and so going to John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus is in a discussion with the Jews, referencing Abraham, and that they would not be trying to kill him if they were in fact Abraham's children. In John 8:58, Jesus replies, "I am older than Abraham." It actually reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And, of course, the I Am is Jehovah God. So that tells us that Abraham was brought into existence or brought into being. But whereas Jesus never came into being at all, but he has always existed. Even before the creation himself, he actually performed the creation. And so this so riled the Jews that those pesky Jews were going to pick up stones and they were going to stone him again. And so this seemed to be their response to their most favorite response to Jesus was stoning him. But another thing that we can think about about the divinity of Jesus is that he acted like God, both by his actions and his claims. For instance, as Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, we have the example of Jesus forgiving sins. And of course, the scribes again accuse Jesus of blaspheming, and they again say only God can forgive sins. To prove his identity, Jesus healed the paralytic as proof of his authority to forgive sins. So we'll go from there. We'll go to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41. It's recounted that King David called Jesus, called him Lord. So in Matthew 22 and 41, this discussion begins when Jesus asked the Pharisees what they thought about the Christ and whose son he was. And their reply that he was the son, the Messiah would be the son of David. To which Jesus replied, then why did David call him Lord? And so this calling him Lord, by David calling him Lord is found in the 110th Psalm, the first seven verses. So if their expected Messiah was just a mere man, or no more than a mere man, why did David call him Lord? And of course, the Pharisees couldn't answer this question. The answer to the question is that Jesus was both fully human, descended from David, and he was fully God, descended from God. And therefore, he is David's Lord. We also know that many times throughout the New Testament that Jesus accepted worship. And you can look those verses up. I think we're probably familiar with those verses. But in the New Testament, Christ's deity is the core of the Christian doctrine. Not only was Jesus declared divine in the gospel accounts, but the apostles and the inspired writers taught the same, as we pointed out in John chapter 1:1 was one example. Now, the apostle Paul was seeking to refute a heresy in the city of Colossae. And he explained that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That is, he is the preeminent one over creation, as Jack read. He's the head of the church. So going from there, we can go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. And Jesus represents himself as the Alpha and the Omega, meaning the first and last, the beginning and the end, meaning that there had never been a time when God the Son did not exist. And it does read Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. So the original plan of salvation was originated by Jesus, and he will determine its closing. He formed the world, and he set up the world's closing when he comes again. Jesus is God, yet he has a distinct personality from God the Father and the Spirit, yet he is united with them in the divine nature. You know, Jesus has always been interested in who people believe he is. It's a question he asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, and we're probably all familiar with that. His disciples had some various answers, but Peter had the correct answer when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so, you know, it's a question that we ask, that is asked of us when we are baptized. Because when we are baptized, we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus became our mediator between God and man only because he is both God and man. And we may not fully comprehend all of the incarnation or the triune nature of God, but the Bible specifically tells us that Jesus is divine. And We can search the Scripture. We can see that he claimed to be God. He was demonstrated he was God, and the Scriptures demonstrated he was God. We can go to John chapter 14 and verse 9, and I would like to read that, and I had it on my my phone, so I'm going to. That's why I'm having to use the phone for the lesson today. So let me go to John 14 and verse 9, and we'll pick that up. Have me do just a second. Actually, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. John 14, 1 through 11. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that good news? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him, and you have seen him. So here he is declaring that to Philip that he has seen God. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So in these verses, Thomas states that they don't know where Jesus is going. Now, Jesus has been teaching them for a time now, and he has already told them where he's going. He's told them that he's going to the cross, but they must still believe that Jesus is going to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus tells him and others that he is returning to heaven by the way of the cross. And if they know Jesus, they have seen God the Father. Philip also had a question. He wants Jesus to show him God. He wants him to show him the invisible God. And Jesus answers, if you have seen me, thus you have seen God. And this is a very stupendous declaration of the deity of Jesus the Christ. And so I'm going to go ahead and close now. And as I do, I'd like to tell us to let us reverence Jesus. Let us give him the respect that he deserves. Take time to examine your prayer life today. Take time to examine your Bible study. Meditate on God's word, for in his word we find eternal life. We find peace. We find his loving kindness, and we find salvation. So contemplate standing before God on the judgment day. Are you going to be fearful, or are you going to be confident? I guess we could be a little bit of both. I'm sure there's going to be some trepidation, because we have all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But if you have a need today, you just need to contact Bill or I or one of the members, and we will try to help you with that need. But if you have not come to the Lord in simple trusting faith and confessed him as the Son of God, repented of your sin and been in worse than, then today is your day of salvation. All things are still ready, so let us know, and may God bless us all. And Brother Jack is now going to lead us in closing prayer.
A thought before we close, and that's to continue Paul's statement as he was reading in Hebrew or in Revelation chapter 22. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter the city by gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. What a hope. What a hope we have. As we conclude this morning, we are thankful for what you have set into place. That plan, Heavenly Father, by which you redeemed us, by which you bought us, paid our price. Father, we ask that you give us the courage, the strength to live worthy of that calling. Father, there are many people who are sick, and we pray particularly for Soraya, for others that are on our prayer list, that Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, that they will be restored, that Heavenly Father, they can be strengthened and brought closer to you. Father, we ask your blessings upon those who are afflicted with the disease, that Heavenly Father, that your will be done. We ask that Heavenly Father, that this nation, that you will be with this nation and its leaders, the governors, that you'll be with even our city administrators, with those round about us who are over us, that Heavenly Father, that they have our best interest in heart, and that Heavenly Father, they will help us to live peacefully and quiet lives. Give them. Father, it's in your Son, whose name we pray. Amen.